Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. And on this show, we answer your questions. It's our Q&A episode. So you can fire up your real estate or financial or tax-related questions, whatever it happens to be. And we will attempt to answer it here on the show. You can do so by going to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com. There's a microphone icon on the right-hand side of your screen. And you can ask us any questions you like. Again, that's morrisinvest.com, M-O-R-R-I-S. We've got tons of great resources over there for new investors, new and old investors, for you to dive into. Okay, so without further ado, let's get into today's questions. We got a couple of them here. Let me play the first one. I think this one is from Allison.
Yes, my name is Allison. I'm wondering, is it possible to get a mortgage if you have a foreclosure on your credit report? We have one from 2018. We have since gotten an FHA loan for our primary residence, but we are interested in getting into the investment real estate world. But I believe we have to wait another 4 years. Thank you.
So it's interesting. So you were able to get an FHA loan, given the fact that you had a foreclosure. And so what I would do is, every bank is going to be different, but it's likely going to be on your record for, I believe it's 7 years. I mean, the same thing with like a bankruptcy. So foreclosure, bankruptcy, but you'll find that when you shop around and you're able to work with different banks, they're able to be a little bit more lenient. And what you might find, though, is that, okay, we're going to have a higher interest rate, or there's going to be some sort of additional protection in place to make sure that this bank is protected. So that's one thing to do, is I would just shop around for different mortgage companies and see what's available, because they want to compete. And even having something like that on your credit report cannot be the end all be all. Like, I know people think, oh, if I've got a bankruptcy or I've got something like that on my credit, then I'm just screwed. I'm not going to be able to do anything. I actually have a good friend who has a bankruptcy. He's a successful person and he's trying to get a mortgage right now. He's got a bankruptcy on his credit report, and I've been helping him kind of navigate that. And, you know, you just have to shop around and you have to know who to speak to in the banking world. So don't be, when you get like one door slammed in your face, don't let that, you know, end your journey. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is non-recourse financing. So if you're entering into the investment world right now and you'd like to invest in real estate, Allison, you know, like, book a call with our team, because our team at Morris Invest, we work with banks that do non-recourse financing for people just like yourself, or people who, for instance, might have or might be an international investor who might not have a U.S. presence. So that's one thing you can also do, is work with non-recourse financing. That means that the bank is focused on the asset itself and not you and your foreclosure on your record. Non-recourse financing can be a powerful tool to people who have maybe a little bit of a shaky credit history, or are up against that 10 property limit, the traditional financing route, and you'd like to go beyond that with 11 or 12 properties. Non-recourse financing will, again, open up a world to you, because you'll have to be buying it in an LLC. So you'll be buying it as a business, which is great. And the bank is going to be financing the property and not really concerned about you and your credit history. I hope that you'll find that helpful, but book a call with our team, Allison, because we work with a lot of non-recourse financing investors, and that's what we do. We have those partnerships with those banks, long-term partnerships with those banks, and we can help you on that guide path towards beginning real estate. So just head over to our website and we can help you. So book a call with us and we'll be happy to do that. All right, our next question comes to us. Here we go.
Hi, Glenn. This is Soma. I'm in Breckenridge, Colorado. I bought this property in 2003 and gained $460,000 in value. It was rented for 7 years previous. I have to move in since January because of divorce. So I've been in the property for a year and a half already. My question is, will it be beneficial to turn it into LLC? This is a property I'm going to leave to my kids as inheritance. Is it beneficial to stay another 6 months to meet the 2 years out of five as a primary residence? Will it LLC avoid any property gaining taxes in the future?
Okay, a couple of things there. So I'm a little unclear. It sounds like you're living in the property and you want to then convert this to an investment. Yes, if you're planning on selling it at any point, then that's where you would run up against that 2 year as a primary residence capital gains. You know, I had a dinner discussion last night with an investor who would do house flipping. And this is what he would do in his community in Texas, in Dallas, was where he would live in the house with his family for 2 years, renovate the property, and then they would sell it, but they'd move next door down the street to another house that needed a total renovation. The reason they stayed there for 2 years is to avoid the capital gains, right? Because it's a primary residence. If you move within less amount of time, then you're selling it, you're going to pay those capital gains taxes. So that's where your question comes from, that 2 year window, that 2 year timeline. Very, very important. So if you're going to sell it, then yes, you would pay capital gains in that way. But if you're planning on handing it down to your family, it doesn't matter if you move out of the property, right? It's still going to be in your name. You're going to own the property. If you're not living there as your primary and you move somewhere else, it doesn't really matter as long as your family is never going to sell it. So what do you really care at that point? You know, that's really up to you. That's a personal decision. But if you're not going to sell it, then who cares? In my opinion, who cares about the 6 month additional to prevent that capital gains. But again, if you are going to sell it, then yeah, hey, can you live there for another 6 months to avoid paying that penalty? Great. As far as an LLC goes, if you're going to turn this into an investment property, absolutely. I mean, again, I am not a financial advisor. I'm not a lawyer, but all of the experts we've ever worked with on our team and beyond in the thousands of real estate deals that we've ever done, always, always, always wanting to have those properties in an LLC. For legal and liability protection. It just comes down to liability protection for you as an investor, right? So you have that property in your own name. Imagine it's an investment. 5 years from now, you have a tenant in that property that I don't know if it's where it is, if it's snowy there or whatever, but imagine someone slips and falls on ice outside of your property, right? Your tenant. And even though it's not your responsibility to shovel the walk, it's theirs, it's the tenant. What if they decide to sue you? Right? They can sue you personally now because it's in your name. It's not in an LLC. Now they can come after all of your personal assets. And you don't want that. Okay. And so as Garrett Sutton likes to say, Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad Advisor, lawyer and friend of the show, what he likes to say is it's not a matter of if you will get sued in business as a business owner or a real estate investor. It's a matter of when. And it could be for something small and stupid. Right, like the city wants to sue you over a sidewalk. It's going to happen at some point. You know, maybe you're lucky it'll never happen, but most chances are it's going, you know, for the most part, it's probably going to happen at some point, and you just want to have that protection in place. And then that way, it's very, very, it's much easier to deal with if it's in an LLC, because then they're only suing for the asset. And what are the assets in that? It's just one house, right? So there's no additional bank accounts, there's no additional funds coming in. They don't own multiple businesses. That LLC owns that property. Okay. So there's not your personal assets. It's not your family's money. It's not the money that your grandfather left to you, all being up for grabs if you didn't have that asset in an LLC. Remember, limited liability companies, they were set up basically for shipping back in the day, right? So people who would invest to have ships bring goods all around the world. The companies themselves structured it so that, God forbid, if something happened and those goods weren't delivered, that they wouldn't sue and then have all of their livelihood taken away from them. It was just meant for the ship and the delivery of that shipping container or the old ships that would bring goods, you know, around the world. So that's where that comes from. And so it's meant to protect you. So absolutely, if you're going to turn this into an investment, absolutely, I would suggest getting it set up in some sort of a legal entity. Again, contact a lawyer. They can set it up for you very, very easily for a few hundred bucks, and you're up and running with that property being owned by that LLC. But it sounds like you got some great equity in that property. So also think about the thing that stood out to me. It's not a question you even asked, but is how could I tap into some of that equity? You know, you're sitting on this equity. Can you take out some loans, take out some home equity lines of credit, and now use that equity in that rental property to start buying additional rental properties? Again, you cannot eat equity. So if you're sitting on equity in a property, you know, and a bank is willing to give you money, free money, then use it. Use it to build out your portfolio of rental properties, in my opinion. Oh, I love that sound. That sound makes me smile. That is the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big businesses, customized for my needs, with a great-looking online storefront that brings my ideas to life and tools to manage my day-to-day and drive sales. Making your idea real opens up endless possibilities. It's a journey, but that's the beauty, you know, the beauty of entrepreneurship. Like when you start out and you've got a few items you want to sell and you're like, oh, how am I going to do this? Well, you go to Shopify because you're going to get a beautiful website and a storefront that you're going to be able to start and sell your items almost immediately. It'll take you no time at all. And then over the time, you can tweak your website. You can tweak the Shopify storefront. Well, that's the beauty of Shopify because it grows with you. So as you're, you know, adding more items to your store, great. Then Shopify can expand with you. You want to tweak the customizable settings on the website, add some different colors and fonts and change things. That's what Shopify does. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs just like me, from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their very first sale on Shopify. You can get started by building and customizing your online store right now with no coding and no design experience. They've got great templates for you to use. Plus, they've got amazing 24/7 support, so you're never alone. You can just drop them a chat and they'll help you immediately. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/investing. That's all lowercase. Okay, you got to do it all in lowercase. It's shopify.com/investing to get a free 14-day trial. And you get access to their full Shopify suite of features. Amazing stuff. They can help you to build logos and all of that stuff. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/investing right now. Shopify.com/investing. All right, Stephen with a question.
Hello, my name is Stephen. I'm currently employed and contributing to a 401k, but I am over 70 years old. I'm interested in taking money out of my 401k and putting it into something where I can purchase property, but I still need to keep my 401k because I'm still working and my company is still contributing to it for me. Also, I have some rental property in California that I would like to sell in the June 2023 timeframe, because that's when my son will be graduating college. I was wondering if you have some idea where you might be opening up investments in that timeframe. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. So a couple of things. I mean, we at Morris Invest, we are always building new properties, right? Our team is always building new properties in the markets that we are located in. So we are in West Texas. That's one of our primary markets. So we've just opened up Odessa and Midland, but we're in Lubbock. And so we have other markets coming online all the time, which, you know, it takes us a long time. If you've watched any of our videos or listened to our podcast, we're analyzing market research and demographic research and job growth research, and all of that stuff goes into deciding whether or not we're going to buy land and start to build new construction rental properties. So we've got things that we have a year out in the plans. We don't announce those ahead of time, but stay tuned for that. So yes, I would just, Stephen, just book a call with our team and start having those discussions with our team members so we can start to learn about your goals over the next year. That would be my advice. So just go to morrisinvest.com and book a call with our team. It's free. And at least we can start talking. So to prep for 2023, that would be my advice on that piece. And then good piece about selling California properties. I mean, again, California is one of the worst states in the United States to invest in because it's one of the least friendly landlord states in the country. And they continue to add laws to make it more difficult for landlords. So I personally would never invest in California. It sounds like you've had some success with that. That's great. The properties now may have appreciated to give you that ability now to sell that for a nice profit. Maybe you can roll them into a 1031 exchange into like-kind assets in Texas or other places, whatever you decide. Not paying the taxes on that, on the sale of those properties, and rolling that in might be a great option for you. So one thing we'll talk about on the phone with you, if you book a call with us, we can look at that structure and see if it makes sense, depending on how long you've owned those properties and what the benefit, what the profit would be on those properties. So a lot of times we'll have individuals that own like a multi-million dollar property, you know, in Arizona or California. And of course, the rent is not keeping up with the amount of money that's in that property. It just doesn't make sense, right? You're going to get $5,000, $3,000 a month in rent, $4,000 a month in rent, but the property is worth over $1 million. Again, the numbers don't make sense there. I would much rather than sell that $1 million property and buy five properties that can give me a much higher internal rate of return than what I'm able to get from an ROI perspective. It's just out of whack, you know? So again, just playing with the numbers, we can figure that out. And then it might make sense to do a 1031 exchange to save you on the taxes once that transfer is complete. As far as the 401k goes, that was another piece of your question. Here's the thing with a 401k, you know my feelings about this. I believe it's a terrible retirement vehicle. Okay. So if you are looking at a 401k as the answer to your prayers, and Stephen, I know you're not, but if you are, you need to look all elsewhere because it is not going to get you to the promised land of providing you cash flow at the end of your life. It's going to be a pile of money and you're going to pay taxes on it because it's tax deferred, right? And most people think of, oh, well, it's great. I'm in my 30s and it's tax deferred. I'm going to pay it when I retire. Well, my goal is to retire wealthier in a higher tax bracket. So I'm going to pay more in taxes when I retire. People don't think about that. Also thinking about you're partnering with the United States government. The 401k is a partnership with the US government. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to what the United States government is doing or how up and up they are. The last person in the world or organization I would want to be partnering with is the United States government. You know, they just sent $40 billion to Ukraine and they can't even get their act together to provide baby formula in the United States. So the last place I'm going to spend and partner with is the United States government, which can switch things up on a dime and screw you big time. Now, the only reason I would keep doing a 401k contribution is if I'm getting a company match, which, as you know, are going away. Company matches are not happening. They're disappearing. But in some cases now, because they're trying to attract employees, they may be bringing some of these incentives back. So if you do get a company match where your company is going to match up to 5 or 6% of your contribution, great. That's about the only time that I encourage people to have a 401k, because then you're getting free money. You know, your company is giving you up to a certain percentage in matching funds in the 401k. But I will caution you, most of the time that the matching funds that they're providing in a 401k are the company's own stock. So maybe your company is not the best. And so you're getting stock in the company that you work for as a match. So check that. Make sure you read the fine print on your 401k plan before you sit there and say, man, this is the greatest thing in the world. My company's providing me all this money. And also, you'll have to be an employee there for a number of years to have a certain amount vested before they will actually match that amount. So if you're there for 1 year or whatever, it's not going to be enough. You have to be there, an employee for a number of years to have the benefits of that 401k matching program with your company. So when I was doing that, when I had my 401k a number of years ago, I set it, they would match up to 6%. And I kept it. I only contributed 6%. And I made sure that I was also not putting it into the stock market. I was doing it in market money, market funds at the time, because I did not want my money, my future, my family's future tied to the stock market. You know, what is the S&P 500 doing? So I made sure that my money was out of that in my 401k and up to the matching program. And then I used my 401k as leverage to buy rental properties, which is a great thing that you can do. So Stephen, one thing you could do is to borrow from your 401k without penalty. Most 401k providers will allow you to borrow, and that's enough for a down payment on a rental property. Most people don't know that you can even borrow from a 401k. I'm not talking about a withdrawal, but a borrowing, and it's a loan to yourself. We have full videos here on the channel and whole episodes on leveraging your 401k to invest in real estate. But that is to say, there's ways to use it, whether it's leverage, borrowing, or even if you did want to do a withdrawal, you know, it's totally up to you. And yes, many, like when I had Fidelity with my 401k, I wasn't able to close that account until I left the company. Like, they will not let you touch that stuff. And I'm like, this is my money. It's my retirement money. What do you mean I can't touch it? The only thing I could do was borrow against it, invest in real estate. But I was like, no, I want this money. I want to be able to use it and buy houses. You know, I don't want it in stocks, but I couldn't touch it until I left the company. So guess what? I left the company. Then I was able to use it to invest. So anyway, Stephen, I hope you found that helpful. Just some things to think about and pointing you in the right direction. We'd love to help you kind of in that guidance for 2023 as you're prepping for your son to graduate. And I'm curious why that's an issue, though, the son graduating piece. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Sometimes, and I'm not saying that this is your situation, but sometimes people get it in their heads that they have this date for some reason, right? And then you're waiting to invest because your son's going to graduate. Might not have anything to do with investing. It just might be some artificial date you've stuck in your head. And we can unpack that a little bit as well on the phone and kind of point you in that direction. So I hope you guys found this helpful. I always find that, hey, when people ask questions, I might not have even thought of the question. I'm going to listen and get some answers. And it really points, you know, I learned so much from other people's questions, you know, and to sit back and listen is so powerful. So if you have a question, please feel free to come over to our website, go to morrisinvest.com, click on the little microphone icon down the lower right-hand corner, and leave us a 30-second voicemail question, and we will answer it here on the show. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I still believe it's the number one way to build and preserve your family's wealth. We'll see you next time.